We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome everyone to Redemption Church. Welcome to everybody in the room. You guys look absolutely great. 2019 looks good on you guys. And welcome to everybody that's checking us out online, listening to podcasts, watching podcasts, all of that. Thank you. God bless each and every one of you. Welcome to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. My name is Chris Fluitt. I'm thrilled to be sharing the Word of God with you tonight. I believe that what we talk about will change your life. All right? I believe that. I believe it. We all want to win, right? If you don't want to win, there's something wrong with you. We all want to win, but sometimes the game gets away from us. And you find yourself down in the fourth quarter. When that happens, you need a game changer. Our beloved Dallas Cowboys, may the Lord have mercy on their dearly departed from this playoff souls. They could have used a game changer last night. That game just got away from them, didn't it? Did you see that game? It just got away from them. They started off so well, and then their offense decided, we are not going to score in the second quarter. And then the game just got away from them. They needed a game changer. We love you, Cowboys. Maybe next year. Now, Cowboys, that you're not playing next week, why don't you come to church next Sunday? We'll see you here, all right, here at Redemption. A game changer, you know what a game changer is? A game changer is a play that changes the momentum and ultimately the outcome of a game. In the year 2019, in the beginning parts of this year, I think we could all use a game changer. We could use a game-changing play that changes everything, gives momentum, changes our entire life. Last week, we told you what is a game changer. Do you remember? I can pull up those notes and preach it again. Does anybody remember? We talked about Mother Teresa. So there it is. Service. Serving is a game changer. Y'all say it. All right, I'm going to ask y'all next week. Now, y'all be quicker than that this time, all right? Y'all don't need hints or anything. This is a game-changing play. You need to remember, serving is a game-changer. All right, we told you last week about well-known people and businesses who achieved world-changing success through the concept of serving. It's countercultural because the culture wants to be served, but God has a plan to bless you whereby you serve others, because this game-changing idea is not a book that you get out of the self-help section at Barnes & Noble. This is a kingdom concept to serve other people. Let me give you an example this week of real-life people that have followed tonight's game-changing plan that we're going to discuss tonight. Here's one. He didn't speak. We'll get a picture up here right there. He didn't speak until he was 4 years old. He was considered developmentally delayed. He failed entrance exams at the age of 16 to enter technical school. After eventually graduating college, he worked as an insurance salesman, and he failed at that job as well. But we are all thankful that Albert Einstein never gave up, because he changed the world as a theoretical physicist. This guy, his first business went bankrupt real bad. He got the blame for it. His second business, he also filed for bankruptcy. He also got the blame for that one. But Henry Ford persevered, and his third company was and still is called Ford Motor Company. She was a single mother living on welfare, trying desperately to support her daughter. She bounced around from job to job. But during all that bouncing around, she took time to write a book over the course of 7 years. She finally finishes that book, and then all 12 major publishers reject that book. But J.K. Rowling didn't give up. She found a small publishing company that was willing to publish Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. At one point, he was homeless. for 3 weeks living in the New Jersey Port Authority bus station. He was rejected by talent scouts, this is crazy, over 1,500 times. He stood in front of talent scouts 1,500 times and they said, we're gonna pass. At another time, he was so broke that while he was in his apartment writing a script, the lights went off inside his apartment. He could not pay his electric bill. So he went and he sold his dog for $25 to turn the lights back on. Those lights turned back on and Sylvester Stallone finished the script for Rocky. On New Year's Eve in 1961, this fledgling group of musicians drove through a dangerous snowstorm to audition at Decca Recording Studios. They thought this was their big break. It is worth the dangerous trek across this snowstorm. They get there only to be told guitar groups are on their way out. That's what they were told. They didn't listen. 5 months later, they met some record producer named George Martin, and together they made rock and roll history. He was fired from his Kansas City newspaper job. His editor said he lacked imagination and had no good ideas. He then created a film studio. Tell me if you've heard of it, Laugh-O-Gram. You haven't heard of Laugh-O-Gram? Yeah, that's because it failed miserably and quickly. He struggled for 5 more years until Walt Disney gave the world Mickey Mouse. There are countless examples I could give you. I really could spend the whole sermon telling you real life stories of people who met hardship, people who were told no, people that said you are a failure, people that had to file bankruptcy, people that just bounced around from job to job, people who tried to finish a work that was just taking too long. I could go on and on and on. The world is filled with countless examples of people that never gave up. I want to tell you, the truth is that everyone who has ever found success has had to learn this game-changing play tonight. I want to tell you, perseverance is a game changer. Could you look at somebody and say, perseverance is a game changer? Do you know what perseverance is? Perseverance is a persistence in doing something despite difficulty and delay in achieving success. You face difficulty and you face delay. Anybody in this place, you ever face difficulty? All right, hands down. Anybody in this place ever face delay? They are both equally frustrating. Every person you look up to, every person who became a champion, every person who brought a breakthrough into the world, they all would tell you that perseverance is required. Perseverance is a game changer. Perseverance is the difference between success and failure. However, perseverance is also the difference between life and death. There are some situations in life where you have to have perseverance or someone dies. In World War II, the entire world hung in the balance. That is no exaggeration. Do you agree? Yeah. Germany was committing mass genocide within their country, and outside their country, they were mowing down nation after nation in Europe, and we all knew that they wouldn't stop with just Europe. England braced for the German attack. After the fall of France, now all eyes were on England. And they printed posters. Tell me if you know about these posters. It says, "Keep calm and carry on." Have you ever seen that poster? "Keep calm and carry on." That was printed during 1939 to prepare them for what was about to happen. The German attack came. And as England was bombed frequently from 1940 to 1945, over 40,000 were killed in the continued onslaught. But England persisted. during an 8-month span. There was a span of 8 months where they were bombed nearly daily. There was a time where they were bombed 56 out of 57 days. 56 out of 57 days they were bombed. Yet they kept calm and they carried on. As the British say, they had a stiff upper lip. They just weren't going to quit. After an 8-month span of daily bombings, the prime minister, his name was Sir Winston Churchill, he spoke at a commencement at Harrow School. It was his alma mater. He said this, this is his quote, "Never give in, never give in, never, 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 never in nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to apparently overwhelming might of the enemy. We stood all alone a year ago, and to many countries it seemed that our account was closed. We were finished. But instead, our country stood in the gap. There was no flinching and no thought of giving in. And by what seemed almost a miracle to those outside these lands, though we ourselves never doubted it, we now find ourselves in a position where I say that we can be sure that we have only to persevere to conquer." We have only to persevere to what? To conquer. Do you want to conquer? There are many people who would tell you, then you've got to persevere. They would even tell you, you have only to persevere, and if you persevere, eventually you will conquer. There are times where we persevere to have some amount of success, right? There are times where we persevere to get the raise. We persevere to correct something in our home. We persevere to fix the plumbing that's under our sink. We persevere, right, in these situations. And they improve our life. They make our life better. But there are times where we must persevere in order for others to be saved. We must persevere in the face of a deadly foe. But as Winston says, we have only persevere to conquer. We have only to persevere to conquer. I want to remind you that perseverance is a game changer. But perseverance is more than a quote for someone who experienced success. Perseverance is a plan straight from God's word. Let's look very quickly at James chapter 1, verse 12. "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Are you telling me that in order for you to receive the crown of life, you got to persevere? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Not only do you have to receive this faith of Jesus, you got to hold on to this faith of Jesus with everything you got. I want to tell you, you listen to me. It costs you nothing to receive the Word of God. It costs you everything to hold on to the Word of God. It costs you nothing to receive the faith, because faith comes by hearing and you receive it freely. But it's going to cost you everything to hold on to your faith. The Bible talks about the parable of the sower, and there's this seed that spread, and the seed is the word of God. It's the word of God, and that seed, it just goes everywhere, and it goes there freely. But there are things that come up, and they're weeds, and they choke out that word that springs forth from that seed. And there are these birds that come, and they snatch the word of God from the soil. I want to tell you this, that the word of God, it's just scattered. It's just given freely. Whosoever will, it's freely given. It's free, but it will cost you everything to hold on to it. And if you are going to have this crown of life that the Lord has promised, you have got to persevere. You can't give up. You got to keep going. Looking at Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, this is the words of Jesus. "But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." Anybody want to be saved? You got to stand firm. Luke 21 and 19, "Stand firm and you will win life." Anybody want to win life? Not giving up, standing firm. This is a plan from God's word. faithfully remaining committed. That is a plan from God's word. Endurance, patience, perseverance. This is a plan from God's word. Perseverance is a game changer. Are you living by God's plan of perseverance? I'm telling you, if you will grab hold of this word from God to persevere, it'll save you from a lot of heartache. There was a time in my life I was at a fork in the road, and I could have gone one way that would have been a lot easier than the other way. This way, I was scared. I was scared I would fail. This way, I was unsure about. This way had a lot of worry in it, a lot of questions. This way was a lot more set in stone. I could have justified going this direction, but do you know what kept me going this direction in life? Because to go this direction in life, I would have had to quit the project I had already started. If I would have gone this way, the rest of my life, I would have known when the going got tough, I turned tail and ran from it towards something easier. And I stayed in school, and I did one of the hardest things I've ever done was to get that degree. But I did it. I did it. How did I know to do that? It's perseverance. I want to tell you right now, if you will grab onto perseverance, you're not going to turn tail and run from your marriage. Come on now. Over 50% of people are turning tail and running from their marriage into divorce. Come on, somebody. The world needs some perseverance. Christians shouldn't be getting divorced because we should be holding on to this perseverance and this endurance and standing firm together. Can I get an amen? Is that okay in the house of God? Perseverance is a game changer. Young people, you listen to me. You're going to have a fork in the road one day where you could go the easier way. But I want you to persevere. I want you to stand firm. I want you to endure. That's the word of God. You work out that plan because it is a game changer. Anybody believe what I'm talking about in the house? If you believe it, would you clap your hands? Would you rejoice in it? We're talking about something that changes the world here. We know perseverance is required, but there are three things that suck the life right out of you. I want to talk about those things. There are three things that they suck the life right out of you and they just cause you to give up. Here are those three things that suck. Look at somebody, say three things that suck. Here they are. Stalling sucks. Stalling sucks. You ever get stalled out in your life? You ever feel like you have momentum and then suddenly everything just slows down and you could swear you're actually moving backwards. Have you ever been there? I've been there. The weight scale in the bathroom says yes, right? My goodness. The treadmill could say one thing, and then that treadmill and that weight scale, they seem to be in disagreement sometimes. It's a crazy thing. We want to do some things, and then we see immediate results. That's what we want to have happen, isn't it? Absolutely. Well, I did this one little thing. In fact, you want to get like countless clicks on social media. You come out and say, oh, you just take this little pill right here and you'll have 6-pack abs immediately. Everybody's like, oh my goodness, how much for that pill? Let's do that pill right now because that's easy, all right? They've got these certain little electronic belts that are supposed to do little shock, right? And oh man, all you have to do is put this on and watch TV and everybody's like, well, I'm watching TV right now. I could be watching that, and then I'd be ready to go to the beach. Wrong. It doesn't work, sucker. That doesn't work. But we want these immediate results. That's what we want. But life does not work that way. Sometimes our achievements are delayed. Here's what I believe in God. Your achievements are never over and done, but sometimes they're delayed. There's always hope. There's always victory in front of you. But sometimes it gets pushed back a little bit. And to be really honest, painfully honest, sometimes that's due to us. No, yeah. Sometimes that's due to us. The farmer plows the ground. He plants the seed. He waters the seed. And then what? He has an immediate harvest? No, it doesn't work that way. No, the farmer has to be patient. The farmer has to persevere. In fact, the farmer doesn't just water that ground one time. He comes back, he waters that ground. He comes back, he fertilizes that ground. He comes back, he weeds that ground. He comes back, he checks that plant. He makes sure that nothing's attacking that plant. If there are animals getting into his garden, he builds things to keep the animals out. He puts traps out to trap animals that are doing it. He does things to keep insects away from his harvest. He does all these things in hope that he will receive that harvest. It's not immediate. It doesn't work that way in the natural. Let me tell you, it really doesn't work that way in the supernatural either. There is no immediate harvest. The farmer has to be patient. The farmer has to persevere and keep working until the proper time. Everyone say proper time to reap the harvest. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9, you need to know this verse. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we will not give up. We want to do good one time and then reap the harvest, right? We want to save money by skipping eating out one time, and then suddenly, what do you know, we're wealthy. There you go. All we had to do was just skip Chick-fil-A one time, and now we can pay for our kids' college fund. It does not work that way. Nothing works that way. We want to study one time a semester and end up with an A+. It does not work. You want to be the first chair in the orchestra. It's not a one-time audition. It's not a one-time practice. It is continued perseverance. God doesn't want you to do good one time, by the way. You know this about God? I saved you so you could be good one time. Praise God. That's it. No. He wants you to be good how often? All the time. What a concept. He wants you to continue doing good. He doesn't want you to grow weary in doing good. What does that tell you? That he wants you to continually doing it. Keep doing it. He wants you to continually do good. He wants you to not grow weary. If you will keep doing good, the proper time will come. You've been working hard. If you've been working hard, I got to tell you, the proper time is coming. You've been praying. You've been worshiping. You've been studying. You've been preparing. I want to tell you, the proper time is coming. When's the proper time? I don't know. I don't know. But God does. God knows. He's the one who said this. Don't grow weary in well-doing, because when the proper time comes, you will reap. You want to be used in ministry? You want to do powerful things for God? Start doing good things right now. Start now. Start now. What do you mean? You mean I'm going to teach a Bible study next week? Probably not. Probably not next week. You mean I'm probably going to preach a sermon a month from now? Probably not. Probably not at all. But the proper time is coming if you will not grow weary in well-doing. I tell you what, there's something wrong with us in the world. We grow weary on the wrong things. We grow weary doing good. But it's hard to find people that grow weary from cussing people out and treating people like trash. It's hard to find somebody that grows weary from an addiction. It's hard to find somebody who grows weary from materialistic greed. It is easy to find somebody that's growing weary in doing good. You listen to me, church, because you as a Christian, you're probably right where I'm talking right now. That you're doing good. You're trying to be the best wife, the best husband you can be. You're trying to work in God's kingdom. You're trying to be the Christian he's called you to be, but you're tired of it. Listen, do not grow weary in doing good. Don't grow weary in doing good. Here is what I want you to know. Stalling reveals the right time. Stalling reveals the right time. You're trying, you want this immediate thing, but it gets pushed off. Why does it get pushed off? Here's the reason why. It's not the proper time. God's in control of this. He's going to use you. He's going to put the door right in front of you. It's going to open at the right time, not beforehand. If it opens at the wrong time, it's usually bad for you. If it opens before you're ready, that's usually bad for you. If the door hasn't opened for you yet, really the question is, okay, God, what do I need to change about me to be ready for it to be the proper time? Stalling, you think it sucks, but really stalling reveals the right time. I look back in my life at times where I thought I was ready, but I wasn't ready. And later, I realized when it was the proper time, and now I go, now I understand. Now I understand. I wanted to give you the second thing. The first thing that sucks is stalling. Here's the other thing that sucks life out of you. Struggling sucks. Look at somebody say, struggling sucks. There are times where it is so difficult to achieve. There are times when it's, look, can we just admit it? It is difficult to get out of bed sometimes. It is difficult not to just achieve, but to just like make it through a day sometimes. There are days like that. There are times where you are working your guts out to accomplish little. I can't stand those times where you have this much work and this much accomplishment. That is a struggle, and it will suck the life right out of you. There are days where you try to solve a problem. You've had days like this. You try to solve the problem, but your solving of the problem only uncovered three more problems. Home repair has been like that for us just about everywhere we've ever lived. Well, there's some kind of problem. Why don't you go in there? Once we had a leaky faucet in the bathroom. So I looked on YouTube, right? I spent about 20 minutes on YouTube going, oh, well, this is easy. That's really simple. Just that. I need that. Great. I go in there. I go, no, that whole thing, I pulled that off. It looked nothing like that YouTube video. They had jerry-rigged that whole thing, and it had to be completely torn apart and redone. And now I had done something that caused us to have to turn off the water. And so me fixing the problem didn't fix the problem. It caused mo problems. Life is like that. Solving things can bring more of a struggle than anything. You can be trying to do the right thing and not getting the results that you wanted to do. You've had conversations like that. What ended up out of that conversation was not what I meant to happen. I meant for us all to get along. And then suddenly, when I spoke to them, it revealed a deep-seated resentment. And it started a big argument. And now I'm not sure where I'm going to sleep tonight. There are instances where the things you try to do, that things happen to you, sorry. There are instances where the things happen to you that you don't even deserve. People lie about you. People treat you unfairly. They judge you. Circumstances out of your control just wreck your life. You can't control a drunk driver on the highway. You can't control the stock market. You can't control these things. The struggle sucks, but look at what God's word says right here, James chapter 1, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. What is the first word there? Say it out loud. What's that first word there? Consider. Can I ask you to reconsider? We need to reconsider our struggle. You need to start considering your struggle pure joy. Why? The next verse tells you, verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Can I tell you, the struggle is not easy. Can I tell you, the struggle is something you are right to want to avoid. There are struggles in parts of your life that are deeply personal, and I'm not making light of any of those things, but I am bringing you the word of God when I tell you this. Struggle produces. Look at somebody, say, struggle produces. Sure, struggle sucks, but if you look at it from God's perspective, struggle produces. It produces. Why did you decide to go to school? To produce something, right? To produce an education. Why did you decide to apply for the promotion? To produce a career. Why are you working? You're working to produce. That's what you are about, right? That's what you're about. You're here to produce. Well, guess what? The struggle that you hate so much. The struggle that you're trying to avoid. The struggle, you're actually praying for God to just remove this struggle. I want to tell you, the struggle's not all bad because the struggle produces. Have you ever been to a struggle that's produced things in you? Come on, anybody? If not, then that, guess what? That's what's going to happen to you in the next week. That's how that works. God's going to do that. Because guess what? The struggle's good for you. The struggle's good for you. You usually can't ever say that during the struggle, but you will, after the struggle, usually say that. James chapter 1, verse 4, the next verse. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You see, the struggle produces perseverance. And if you will let perseverance finish its work, perseverance is going to work in your life. And if you will let this perseverance work in your life, remember, this is a God concept. We're not just talking about our own willpower. We're talking about something God wants inside of you. Working, not giving up, standing firm. If you'll let it work inside you, the finished work will be that you'll be mature and complete and not lack anything. Some of you feel like you're lacking so much right now in life. Guess what? You need to let perseverance finish your work. You need to let perseverance have a finished work in your life, and then you will not be lacking anything. That's why he says, count it pure joy, because it's good for you. Struggling, it's not easy, but it produces, if you'll just let the perseverance finish its work. Struggling produces. So I told you that stalling sucks. I told you that struggling sucks. And here's the third one right here. Suffering sucks. Look at somebody, say, suffering sucks. Do you like pain? Anybody like pain? Anybody like it? No, I can't stand pain. I don't like pain, right? I don't like it when my children are in pain. It's built within us to avoid pain, right? Unless you're like a five-year-old kid, right? A little boy is just gonna run headlong into pain. Our kid, we were walking into a basketball stadium, but before we could get into that basketball stadium, my eldest son, my eight-year-old son, decided, you know what? I am going to jump 8 steps off this staircase and fall, twisting my ankle. Why? Because he's insane and he's putting his angels through it. Lord, keep those angels around him, protect him. Once that pain hit him, it was like he was trying to crawl away from that twisted ankle. Like, oh, I don't want it. Right? Pain is this terrible thing. Nobody's usually like, sign me up for that. I want a lot of that. Could I pay taxes twice this year? Could I get more IRS letters in the mail? Could I? No one does that. If you are that, you really need to come pray in this altar today, because you are crazy. It's easy to give up during times of suffering. It's usually not people that everything's going good. I've never seen anybody go, wow, guys, I just won the lottery. I'm giving up on life. Nobody does that, right? No, it's like, I can't pay my bills. I'm giving up on life. It's the suffering. It's the pain. It's the shame. It's that causes people to give up. But God's word says this, Romans chapter 5, verse 3. We also glory in our sufferings. I want the verse right before this, it says that we glory in God. He follows that up. Don't you know that got amens in Rome? Like, we're going to give God the glory. And everybody goes, amen. Yeah, give God the glory. Give God the glory. Yeah, give God the glory, right? And we're also going to glory in our pain and our suffering and our heartache. Amen, right? Yeah, Paul. Oh my gosh, Paul's lost it, you guys. Continues, we glory in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Just like the struggle produces perseverance. He goes on a little further, verse 4. Perseverance, it produces perseverance. Character. And character, it produces what? Hope. Suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. I want to tell you that there is a better you, a stronger you, a wiser you, a more talented and equipped you on the other side of your suffering. That's what he's telling us. Let your perseverance produce character. And then once that is produced character in your life, then you let godly character produce hope. Now, I don't know about you, but I can go a long way on hope. I don't go very far if I don't have hope, right? You need the perseverance to work in your life very quickly to get you to hope. Because if you have hope, you can make it. There's a place in the Bible where the disciples, there are these two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus. They are walking away from Jerusalem. They are walking away from a relationship with Jesus Christ. They are walking away from faith in Jesus because they know that he was killed on a cross and laid in a grave. And Jesus, unknown to them, walks up to them and says, "Why are you guys looking so miserable?" And they said these words, "We had hoped. We used to hope that he'd be the one, but now he's dead and we've lost hope. And that's why we are the way that we are." Hope, a lack of hope will do that to you. But if you have hope, you can go. You can keep going. But you got to persevere in order to get to the hope. You see, it doesn't work the opposite. It doesn't work, "I've got hope, now I can persevere." No, you got to persevere some, and then it builds the character, and then it builds the hope. You understand? You see it in the Word of God right there? When you are in the suffering, hope is one thing you feel like you don't have. But if you will persevere in the suffering, you will end up with hope. I want to tell you this, suffering gives way to character and hope. You think suffering sucks, I get it. But suffering will give way. You can push right through the suffering and be a better, stronger you. Be a hope-filled you. You ever see somebody that's going through suffering, yet they're full of hope? Absolutely. That's God working in their life. I want to remind you, perseverance is a game changer. It doesn't matter what your New Year's resolution is. If you don't have perseverance, you will not see it through. It doesn't matter the calling of God on your life. You listen to me, because you might have had your auntie or your uncle come up to you and say, "Oh, I just feel in my bones that you're going to be a preacher one day. I just feel it in my knower," whatever that knower is, that you are going to be something for God one day. Let me tell you, it doesn't matter what your calling and your anointing is. If you don't have perseverance, you'll never walk in the fullness of that calling and that anointing. And by the way, every one of you is called by God. Every one of you is anointed to change the world. But none of it will happen if you do not persevere. It doesn't matter what your strengths and your abilities are if you don't have the perseverance to continue when times grow difficult. I remember being at a music school and I saw people way more talented than me give up. I saw people that I was more talented than, but I never saw them give up, and they went further than other people. That is what happens. You've got to persevere. I want to tell you a phrase that's in your Bible that shows up about 1,200 times. It shows up over and over again. Here it is. It's four little words. It came to pass. Can you say that? It came to pass. It, I don't know what it is, but it came. But it came to pass. Are you with me so far? It came to pass is that phrase uttered over and over in your Bible. There was a time that came, and then it passed. What a revelation. I know this may not seem huge to you, but here it is. Every moment comes to pass. You will not live in a solitary moment forever. And there are some people that they live in a moment 20 years ago where they failed. They live in a moment where someone said something to them that hurt them deeply or someone abused them. Let me tell you, that is a moment in time, and every moment comes to pass. I gotta also tell you that there are moments of victory in your life, but you actually can't live in those moments. You gotta celebrate that moment, be thankful for that moment, but then that moment has to go on, or you'll never come to the next victory. You can't be like one of those sad, sad people that you see that are always reliving the glory days, right? Oh man, I was the quarterback, like, and I threw 6 touchdowns one time, and you know what? If they would have put me in, we would have gone all the way to state. You can't be that person. You've met people like that, and it's very sad. Guess what? We can all be that way. We have to understand that moments come, but moments don't come to stay. Moments come to pass. There are difficult moments, but those moments come to pass. Through God's strength, the moment will have come and will have passed, but you'll still be standing. There was the worst thing possible came to the world. It came to Noah. Noah, gonna flood the entire earth. What? Yeah? Really? Like, imagine if you would have heard that. Yeah, I'm gonna flood the entire earth. I'm gonna wash this earth completely clear. What a moment. But you know what the strength of this moment is? Some people focus on the negativity of, whoa, the whole world's going to be destroyed. The whole world's going to be wiped clean. No, here's what you got to focus on. That moment came, but that flood ended up leaving. But you know what? Noah and his family, they were still standing. That hardship came, but it came to pass. Through God's strength, the moment will come. And the moment will have passed, but you will still be standing. Not only will you be standing, but you listen to me. A better you will be standing after it comes to pass. But you must persevere. Let somebody say, it came to pass. Every moment that you're facing right now that's hard, I got to tell you, it's going to pass. It's going to pass. You got to be standing. The Bible says that Noah lived 350 years after the flood. Noah lived a long time. Noah had victories. Noah did a lot of living in those 350 years. It did not destroy him. That came to pass. That same God wants you to know the same thing. You feel like your life's over because this thing happened. No, that thing has passed, and you've got a lot of living ahead of you. Get to living. Get to living. Get to living. Perseverance is a kingdom concept. It's a kingdom concept. But who better than Jesus shows us how to persevere? I got one more scripture passage to bring us through. It's Hebrews chapter 12, and this is such a great passage. You don't know this passage, you got to know this passage. 12, verse 1, Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. I love how it says that. There are some things you just got to throw off. There are things that are hindering you, slowing you down, and what do you got to do with those things? Oh, you got to hold on to those things, right? No, you got to throw those things off. And the sin that so easily entangles us. Can I tell you that there is sin in your life? You know what you need to do with that sin also? You got to throw it off. You got to throw it off. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Verse 2, fixing our eyes on one solitary thing. What's the thing we fix our eyes on? We fix our eyes on Jesus. He's the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him. Now you stop. Because what did James tell us to reconsider? He told us to consider it pure joy, your struggle and your suffering. But right here, we're fixing our eyes on Jesus, the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Do you understand? To get to the joy set before him, he had to go through the cross. He had to go through the greatest struggle. You talk about suffering and you talk about stalling. He had to go through that for the joy set before him. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. One more verse. Pay attention. Consider him. Say those two words. Consider him. Do we consider him? I would tell you we don't consider him enough. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If you are growing weary and losing heart, you need to consider the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what James is telling us. We need to consider him. In our stalling, we don't consider him enough. In our struggle, we don't consider him enough. In our suffering, we need to consider him all the more. If you're growing weary and losing heart, I think you may not be considering Jesus Christ. Over the next few moments, will you consider the Lord with me? What if Jesus had not persevered in the garden? What if he had not been willing to sweat blood in prayer? What if he had not been able to endure to take that cup that he wanted to pass from him? What if Jesus had given up as he was being beaten? You know, they beat many, many men in order to get them to confess their wrongdoings. The more they would not confess, the harder they would strike them. So they would start out at a certain rate, and Jesus is quiet. And those hits keep coming. Hey, you want to say anything, Jesus? You want to say anything? And that cat of nine tails, it becomes more and more furious. All the while, he could have, in one moment, said, "I'm not the Christ. I lied, I'm not the Son of God." And it would have all stopped. But on Jesus, he endured and he had perseverance all the way till that soldier stopped hitting our Lord with that cat of nine tails. What if he had given up? What if he had not endured the beating? It would have been so much easier to just give up before Pilate, to give up before Herod, to give up before the Sanhedrin. What if he didn't carry that cross? What if he said, "No, this has gone far enough. This is ridiculous." When you're facing heartache, that's what you say. What if he would have said it? What if he, while on the cross, they offered him a drink that would have numbed the pain? What if he didn't refuse that? What if he said, "No, I've been through enough. I think I'll take that." What if he didn't lay down his life for us? What if he didn't shed his blood for us? What if he looked out at that crowd and said, "You know what? I see my mom. I can't put her through this." What if he would have looked out at that crowd and said, "No, I don't want to leave this earth." Let me tell you, friend, he did look out that crowd and he did think, "I don't want to leave this earth. I don't want this pain." He said that in the garden, "I don't want this. I don't want to put Mary through this." He didn't want to do any of those things, but he endured. He stood firm. He persevered. Would you consider the Lord Jesus Christ? Consider him who endured opposition from sinners. I want to tell you that you're going through all this heartache. You're going through all the suffering, the stalling, the struggle. I want to tell you, you need to consider Jesus Christ, and he needs to become your rally cry. You know that hope there was a little hope. I was reading all those crazy stories of like Sylvester Stallone and Albert Einstein and, wow, J.K. Rowling. I mean, some of those stories were really cool. They were really cool. I would like to have a story like that, you might have thought about. I tell you what, no one compares to Jesus Christ. You want a story about enduring and coming to full victory? There's no story like his story. You need to consider that story. And whatever energy you felt when you heard about those other people, I'm telling you, you ought to feel so much energy when you think about what Jesus Christ did for you and for me and for the entire world. Jesus Christ needs to become your rallying cry. He needs to become your victory. But if you don't consider him, if you don't consider him, what will you consider? You'll consider the struggle. You'll consider the stalling. You'll consider the suffering. But if you consider him, you will not grow weary and lose heart. Can I tell you, you can do this because Jesus did this. This is something that's not talked about much, but I believe it with all my heart, so I'm going to tell you. Jesus operated in the supernatural. You agree with me? Jesus operated in the supernatural. We too should operate in the supernatural. But what he did on the cross was all natural. The pain he felt, he didn't have a supernatural wave of a wand or a get out of free jail card or like Monopoly thing. No. He experienced every bit of it in the natural. Why? So you could do it too. He wants you to know that you can do it too. You might be going through the worst kind of pain. It sucks. I'm so sorry, but you can do it. Jesus Christ did it. And now, if you'll consider that Jesus, that same Jesus will now supernaturally fill your life. What he did in the natural now will give you supernatural strength. Anybody want that kind of strength here today? I'm going to pray. I want to tell you that we're going to enter into a time of talking to God. These altars are open right now. I expect Redemption Church folks that know what's going on to come get ready to talk to God. Come talk to God right now. If you want special prayer in this place, if you feel like you've been at your wit's end, you come in the first 2 feet. If you feel like you need a miracle, if you feel like you need direction, if you feel lost, I want you to come in the first 2 feet and somebody is going to pray with you. If you don't come in the first 2 feet, we're just going to let you talk to God. But this team is going to worship and I want you to talk to God. I want you to have an encounter with him. I want you to consider him. I want you to persevere like him. I want you to dedicate like he has dedicated to you. Come on, let's talk to God in this place. When I open my eyes, I want to see this place filled with people praying and talking to God. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for everybody in this house, everybody watching, listening online. God, what you did on the cross, what you did in the garden, what you did in the grave, even going down into hell and stealing the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Father, we can succeed too. We too can persevere. We too can endure. Father, I pray for every person right now that joy, that hope, that growing character would grow in them. Father, Lord, if somebody is about to give up, I pray for them right now that they would not grow weary in doing good, because if they will keep doing good, they are going to reap at the proper time. Father, help us to understand it and help us to grow in it, Lord. Help us to trust in it, Father, in the name of Jesus. Come on, Redemption Church, let's talk to God in this place. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, for moving in this house. Thank you, Lord, for moving in my life. Thank you, God, for being present with me.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.